Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW.
Welcome to the party! Oh my God, thanks for coming, Sammy!
NXT.
It's over! The process here to ransack NXT's soul!
And indie wrestling. It's Wednesday night, Don Omite.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait. And now, your host, Don Tony.
What's up, everybody? Thursday night. See the logo? There it is. Up there, Thursday night, Dynamite. Oh, boy. I'm already exhausted this week with wrestling. 4.5 hours of NXT TakeOver, 2 hours of AEW, even snuck in a little bit of Raw, which I kind of should have bypassed. Going to check out some Impact Wrestling tomorrow, some MLW. Then we got SmackDown, and then about 8 hours of WrestleMania. Good evening, everybody. Don Tony here. It is 10:45 p.m., April 8th, 2021. This is your NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver recap. We're doing a whole show, night one, night two. I promise you, this will not be a long, drawn-out review. No need to. I think NXT TakeOver did what it needed to do. And I tell you, anybody that follows me on a weekly basis knows that I am a fan of AEW and I'm a fan of NXT. I see the glasses half full instead of half empty. I think under the circumstances with COVID still being here, there's a lot of limitations that these companies have. Now with COVID starting to get out of here, with the warmer weather, and now having fans being able to attend, and eventually in a couple of months, you will see touring. We hope the products will improve substantially. Did you see AEW's rating that came in? If you did not check out my recap of Dynamite last night, go check it out. The rating that came in reflected what we saw yesterday. Talk about a tale of two nights. Because NXT, don't get me wrong, there is problems with NXT also. No offense. Honestly, no offense to Breezango or Drake Maverick or Killian Dane. But when you're advertising this as the number one contenders for the tag titles, are you kidding me? The shit way that they have handled Killian Dane and Drake Maverick and suddenly number one contenders, man, that's as laughable as Adam Hangman Page yesterday and Max Caster having a match to determine who's ranked number one. Are you kidding me? Little ridiculous. But I will say that NXT's problems are a lot smaller right now than AEW. AEW yesterday lost to NXT in the ratings. Now, look, I'm not going to go back on what I said yesterday. For those out there that did not tune into yesterday's show, I reminded everyone that Peacock also streamed NXT TakeOver Night 1. And from what I got so far, it's around 100,000 viewers, maybe a little bit less. It's not easy to get those numbers on a streaming service. It goes by request. It's a little bit different. But the fact that even with the Peacock Network, AEW lost to NXT by about 80 or 90,000 viewers, that's not very good. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. Tonight, though, we talk about NXT TakeOver. Now, I had my choice of shirts to wear tonight. Do I wear MSK? Do I wear Karrion Kross? I do not have a Raquel Gonzalez shirt yet, but I will get one. But I figured, hey, Karrion Kross is over there. He replaced the Christian poster for the Hall of Fame. If you remember that poster I had up there. Congratulations to Raquel Gonzalez beating Io Shirai for the women's championship. I love it. I love watching Raquel Gonzalez. Now, that's not a complete sentence. I have a feeling a lot of you would agree with me that if we put a period at the end of that statement, we wouldn't have any issue with it either. We love watching Raquel Gonzalez, but I love watching her over the last 9 months start to put it all together. She's not ready for the main roster. She is developing at a good pace, and it is happening, not rushed, organically, definitely, and just keep at it. Karrion Kross, though. Karrion Kross. Now, you know I'm a little biased about Karrion Kross. Now, two-time NXT Heavyweight Champion. I love the fact that they're giving him a second chance to run with the championship. The first time he had to relinquish the title 3 days after TakeOver because of injury. So they're giving him a second chance. Nothing against Finn Balor. But if you follow my show on a weekly basis, and it's not really his fault, but the bloom has fallen off the rose with Finn Balor, main eventing NXT. The quarter hour ratings that he is on have been on his terms, on his for his ability and his star power and how great of a talent he is. That is pathetic, those quarter hour numbers that we were getting in. Again, it's not his fault. You know, he's taking chicken shit and trying to turn it into chicken salad as well. And I enjoyed the match tonight with Karrion Kross and Finn Balor. The thing is, though, and I think a lot of you out there will agree with me on this, Karrion Kross is meant to be on the main roster. If you look at that match, if you dissect the match with Karrion Kross and Finn Balor, it's not your quintessential AEW style with Karrion Kross in there. It's not your quintessential NXT energy, high-flying, you know, crazy-ass moves that a lot of people associate with Adam Cole, Finn Balor. You could go on and on and on. All right, just like Keith Lee. You know, we said forever that Keith Lee, his arsenal is perfect for the main roster. Karrion Kross, his arsenal is perfect for the main roster. All right, NXT, for now, it's fine, but I brought this up a couple of times already. If Karrion Kross wins the championship, who is his first opponent? Who feuds with him next? And when you go down that roster, you know, give me two or three people. It's not easy to come up with someone. It really isn't. My idea, and I'm not the only person. I think Mish came up with the idea as well. I know some of you have brought it up too. We'd love to see Aleister Black. Bring Aleister Black back to NXT. Aleister Black did an awesome job in NXT. You're doing nothing with the guy right now. Andrade, he's gone. I was very reluctant about bringing Andrade. I would have been fine with Shinsuke Nakamura coming back to NXT. Because up until the Royal Rumble, we thought WWE is finally going to start using Nakamura the right way. After the Royal Rumble, it's a lot of smoke and mirrors if you look at it closely. Okay, Benjamin is saying he's sure that they have someone planned for Kross. Why don't you tell me, who do you think would be a perfect opponent for Karrion Kross right now in NXT? It's not his fault. It's just WWE. It doesn't feel like they have planned some of these things long term. Obviously, injury derails that. For the moment, though, right now, I am happy Karrion Kross is the champion. It's interesting to see how AEW is handling now going on the post, all eyes on AEW Wednesday nights. It's interesting to see how NXT is going forward. All eyes on NXT, unopposed Tuesday nights. You look at both sides of the coin and you see, you know, two totally different formulas. WWE basically is just, to use Vince, and I'm sorry if your volume is a little low right now and it is kind of late, but, you know, it's basically shake it up. We're going to shake it up. They've shaken up NXT going into their first week on the post. We have new tag team champions, MSK. We have new women's champion, Raquel Gonzalez. We have a new NXT heavyweight champ. Well, she's not Raquel. New NXT heavyweight champion, Karrion Kross. We have new women's tag team champions for the last couple of weeks in Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart. Gargano retaining the North American championship. I'm fine with that. I like Bronson Reed. But Bronson Reed, I don't think they really need to put a belt on him right now. They, you know, it wasn't too long ago that, you know, he lost some matches. He's not on any momentum right now. I love Bronson Reed's arsenal. He moves really well for a big man. But this was a story of small man fighting big man. I think the money with Gargano is Austin Theory making a challenge to Gargano. I want a shot. They've totally screwed up my favorite wrestler up to this point in Dexter Lumis. Almost all of you out there wanted to see Dexter Lumis go up against Gargano. You look at that wasted storyline with psychologists and tormenting and kidnapping and weird infatuations. Indy Hartwell likes Dexter. Austin likes Dexter. They're playing cartoons. And it has been filled with holes. I mean, we watched it on TV, the storyline, where Gargano paid the psychologist off to fuck with Austin Theory's head. No payoff. Nothing. Dexter Lumis, well, he's going to feud with LA Knight? Oh, that, like, where does that go? Where does that leave anybody? Cameron Grimes, do you remember when they were starting to do those skits with the money? And I said, once he gets back in the ring, it's just Cameron Grimes, the same Cameron Grimes before. What's the difference? Is he's got a couple of $100 bills in his hand? And you look what happened with Cameron Grimes. No momentum whatsoever. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here. But right now, you know, it's live for the moment. Now they're going unopposed. Let's see what they do. So I thought NXT for both nights was very good. I'm not going to lie to you. I liked yesterday better than today. You know, I don't know how many people will agree with me on that. But hey, we'll get into it. But before I do that, I want to give a couple of special shout outs today. Thank you, everybody who is joining me live. I know on a work night, that's not easy for a lot of you out there. Plus, everybody and their mother is now doing an NXT TakeOver recap, you know, right after it airs. So obviously a lot of shows are splitting live viewers now and everything like that. I'm always here Thursday nights. So it's really, I'm just starting about a half an hour later than usual. But yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. Now don't forget, tomorrow night, right after SmackDown, I will be up here giving you the SmackDown recap, WrestleMania predictions, and we'll break down the quarter-hour ratings for AEW. I know a lot of you are trying to change my mind and say, do the NXT anyway, since they beat AEW in the ratings. Maybe I will. Maybe I will. And yes, thank you, Harris, for reminding me. Frankie Monet is going to debut Tuesday on NXT, the former Taya Valkyrie. It was funny, last week we thought it was Frankie was the name of the dog. And no, it's actually going to be her name, Frankie Monet. See, I like that. That's what they should have done with Gigi Dolin. If anybody remembers when they brought in Gigi Dolin, you look at her. She's like a cross of Paige and Becky Lynch because of the orange hair, but she reminds me so much of Paige. And that's something about Paige early on. She had that look that people just flocked to. She's got an attractiveness, a unique attractiveness. Gigi Dolin, to me, looks like a female from France. You know, like sexy French. And instead of Gigi Dolin, that's so bland. I compared it to going to a supermarket. Instead of saying, give me mozzarella cheese. No, give me a package of mozzarella. You know, give me bruschetta. Give me a nice, you got some nice bruschetta imported? No, give me some prosciutto ham. Gigi Dolin should have been Gigi Dolin. Remember? Gigi Dolin. It's got an international twist to it. They didn't do that. So since they didn't do that with her, Frankie Monet, I like that. Frankie Monet. I like it. I like it. So we'll see where it goes Tuesday night. Now, a couple of shout-outs before we start breaking down some of these matches. Crazy Cruiserweight, he did an advanced start. Well, Cruiserweight, you know, we're not doing AEW tonight, but I will mention this because any little remark about who that is worth bringing up. He did an advanced search on QT Marshall, and the bad really outweighs the good. People don't care. Oh, Cruiserweight, tune in to tomorrow night with the Court Hour ratings. That's all I'm going to say. Tune in tomorrow night to the Court Hour ratings. You will enjoy that. Tony Khan could praise him as much as he wants. Huge employee behind the scenes. But as far as a ratings grab, I don't want to get too violent here, but he could cause a lot worse damage on TV and the fans still aren't interested. So Ethan Kaufman doesn't understand people saying something is wrong with NXT. It is quality and better wrestling than AEW. Stand and deliver is stacked. No question. Look, if the best that I could come up with right now is problems with, you know, with a number one contender for the tag titles, you don't have too much wrong with right now. What's going to happen is fans are now going to see NXT focused, laser beamed, and there's no denying it. We've talked about it before. NXT took their eye off the ball. They lost a lot of their identity the last year and a half. Even though everybody and their mother, other than the fans, we don't consider NXT competition. This is what AEW said. No, they're not competition. It is competition. Because every fan out there sees both shows on a Wednesday night, it's competition. And it gets into the heads of wrestlers in NXT who are not ready, not just physically, not just talent-wise, but also emotionally, psychologically. They're not ready for the big time and the pressures and head-to-head. NXT is supposed to be developing, nurturing, building, tweaking, adjusting, honing your craft, improving, changing things. That's what it's about. And because there was so much damn focus about all his attention because AEW is on the same night, you saw them fall into some of the problems that we can't stand on Raw and SmackDown. And there were times, look, William Regal. How do you screw up William Regal and turn him into a goof? I mean, think about some of his actions in the last 4 or 5 months. It's not his fault. But, you know, I'm not going to repeat him. But the whole Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, you know, thing with running him off the road was ridiculously stupid. Speaking of Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, very, very happy that Kyle O'Reilly won tonight. This was a match Kyle O'Reilly needed to win. Because Adam Cole is, without a doubt, the top wrestler in NXT. I said 2 years ago he should have been the number one wrestler ranked in the world. He was the MVP of NXT, especially during the early time of COVID. That guy is, you know, your number one ambassador for NXT, inside and outside the ring. He didn't need this win tonight. Kyle O'Reilly had some high-profile matches with Finn Balor. A lot of us always, we appreciated Kyle O'Reilly. We enjoyed him in the Undisputed Era. We liked him teaming up a little bit with Bobby Fish. You know, but in the end, Kyle O'Reilly, this is so wrong to say, but I think a lot of people will say Kyle O'Reilly was like the third or fourth wheel in the Undisputed Era. So he needed that breakout win, and he got it tonight. In my opinion, that match went a little bit too long. Not because we wanted to do the show and the recap, but the match went a little bit too long. I mean, the fans there live loved it. You know, when you go live to a wrestling show, even if the people on the card are low-budget indie, you usually have an awesome time. So those fans got their money's worth. The fight told a wonderful story. I just think maybe if you end it 10 minutes sooner and make it a little tighter, I think it probably would have been received. I think towards the end, people like, come on already. You know? So, but no, so Ethan, trust me, I think NXT has a lot less problems than AEW right now. Good thing about AEWs, their problems, I think, can be fixed. So they're not a lost cause. I will not be one of those that spell doom and gloom for AEW. They need some reality checks in the ratings. Because Lord knows on social media and other podcasts, they will convince people in AEW that they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, they're too afraid. They're too afraid to say any constructive criticism about AEW. They don't want to lose followers. They don't want to lose likes. You know, they're hoping for that magical retweet from Tony Khan so they could put it as their wallpaper on social media and maybe even tattoo it to their private parts. So, so they definitely can fix it. But since those people that really care about AEW are too afraid to address the negatives, then AEW is going to have to get it in the ratings department. And it's starting to show. It is starting to show, no question. Philip Baffy, am I going to still be doing recap shows for AEW after NXT moves to Tuesdays? All right, here's the deal. All right, here on YouTube, we have, obviously, subscribers. Everybody subscribes to the channel. Much appreciated. We also have memberships. That's when you see those cool emojis and, you know, little banners, but also those members are really kind of like my stockholders, and I go to them for, you know, opinions. And I went to our members here about a week and a half ago, and I said, look, how should I handle NXT on Tuesdays going forward? There's two options. I do an NXT recap Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock, 10:05. Then I do AEW recap 10:05 on Wednesdays. The good thing about that is the shows will be half the time because I only have to cover one show each night. NXT on Tuesdays, AEW on Wednesdays. 92% of them said, no, just still cover NXT and AEW on Wednesday nights. So as of right now, as of this moment, next Wednesday, I will cover NXT from the night before and AEW that goes on that night. But if NXT starts getting some big-time momentum and the majority of you out there want me to cover them separately, then I will do Tuesday night NXT, Wednesday night AEW. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And as of right now, a majority says keep both covered on Wednesday nights. So that is the current plan right now. BJ, I did this the other day. I did that the other... Oh, wait a minute. Oh, boy, I'm Cruiserweight, I owe you an apology. I owe you an apology. I just realized when he brought up QT Marshall, that was comment that he said yesterday. I was looking at yesterday's comments. I was wondering, like, why is he bringing up QT Marshall during the NXT stuff? Roger Rubio says, what an awesome two nights. DT, love the two main events. Let's have a great show. Absolutely. Absolutely. Crazy Cruiser. Now, this one was today, by the way. Yes, wake me up after I go. Yes. I will do that spoof next week. If he has a great match, I will praise him. But if it sucks, I will do a rendition of Wham, you know, and we will mock Mr. Ogogo making his debut. Like, who really cares? Seriously. Papa Shango Jr. got his first shot today. Feels like the chain knee to the back. I loved the use of the chain tonight with Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. It told a wonderful story. I think Ivan Koloff would be proud of Kyle O'Reilly tonight. And you see the tale of two nights with the chain. We talked about it yesterday. And you use the chain to land a move on someone, you know, not a move that's going to finish someone off. You use the chain to punish, to torture. And that's what they were doing. When Adam Cole, you know, put the figure four on Kyle O'Reilly and he's using the chain, it's supposed to add additional pain, make it more, you know, torturous for Kyle O'Reilly. When Kyle O'Reilly wraps the chain around him and he's hitting Adam Cole, it's to cause more pain. Yesterday, Max Caster takes a chain, wraps it around his hand. Wasn't just a glancing blow. It was full-blown two-count. Honestly, this is my idea of the two-count yesterday. One, two. You don't wrap a chain around your hand, especially the body on Max Caster, and you wind up. Here's the pitch. Boom! Two-count. And literally 8 seconds later, Hangman Page is not even selling the shot to the face. Even if he's tough as nails, a shot to the jaw is supposed to knock you for a loop. And 8 seconds later, he's trying to do fucking moonsaults. Moonsault my nuts. That's what I have to say. AS7607, both nights of TakeOver were fantastic, but night two outdid night one. Okay, very interesting. I think night two was more eventful as far as the match. That unsanctioned match was excellent. By the way, if you're going to use an NXT referee, wearing all black is what an unsanctioned referee is supposed to wear. If NXT in storyline is allowing one of their referees to ref the match, I mean, change the outfit, but it's okay. By the way, what did you all think of Santos Escobar bringing his 9-year-old on the stage to celebrate his win? I liked it. I liked it. I knew it. As soon as I saw it, I knew it. I did a search on social media. Now, you know me, I really don't socialize on social media anymore. I avoid trying to get, you know, pulled in. We've talked about that. But I couldn't resist. I did a search and oh, seriously, man, Harris, he's gone. I know it's not wrestling related, everyone, but DMX passed away. I mean, one of the legendary rappers of all time. You know, wrestling-wise, I always remember Elix Skipper's theme. Remember Elix Skipper's theme? Prime time, baby! It was always a ripoff of DMX's theme. So, DMX, you know, we talked about it on Patreon a little bit more Tuesday, but, you know, he had a drug overdose, slipped into a coma, and he was on life support. Once you're on life support, I mean, that's really it. And I saw a video yesterday of a bunch of fans outside the hospital blasting DMX music. I thought it was such a wonderful tribute. It really was. And look, DMX was never one of my all-time favorites. Me, for rap, I'm more old school. Run DMC, Tribe Called Quest, you know, groups like that, Gangstar, you know, groups like that, Houdini. Oh my God, I don't want to start naming, but DMX, you can't deny. I mean, that guy had some banging tunes back in the day. So yeah, rest in peace, man. Rest in peace. I'm sure we will talk a little bit more about that tomorrow, but so Beastie Boys, absolutely Crazy Cruise. You know that already, Beastie Boys. Sometimes they do Beastie Boys when we were doing the Miz and Morrison spoof of Bad Bunny 2 weeks ago. Remember? You know, drop. So I personally enjoyed NXT night one more than night two. I think the tag championships being put on MSK and Raquel Gonzalez, I mean, Karrion Kross, don't get me wrong. I mean, out of all the title wins, I'm happy about that the most. To me, it was, okay, you know, we've seen this before in WWE. Wrestler becomes champion, has to relinquish the title because of injury, and when that champion comes back, it's okay, let's pick up where we left off, and they ultimately regain the belt rather quickly. We've seen that before. I don't think there was any doubt of Karrion Kross regaining the championship. This, and I guess we could start getting into some of the matches, this surprised me more than anything else. And I know I'm going a little bit out of... Actually, you know what? Before I do talk about that match, I have a request, everyone. If you're not on your mobile phones and it's a little bit easy to do, you know, smash that like button. I know it says Wednesday night Dynamite. I haven't made graphics for Thursday night yet. This is a little bit out of the ordinary. I had to make a little quick logo to change it to Thursday night, you know. I don't know. That font reminds me of Three's Company font, you know? Jason, I'll get into your remark in a second because I absolutely agree with you. Seriously. Yesterday, Zoe Stark beat Toni Storm. I bit my tongue all night yesterday not talking about it because we wanted to focus only on AEW. If you've been following my shows for the last month, what is the one move that is pissing me off more than anything else? Not the Tope Suiciders. That's so 2020. It's the freaking inside cradle. How many times have I brought up the obsession with inside cradles, especially for abrupt wins? And we saw it with the Young Bucks and Santana. We've seen that if you actually pay attention going forward of all the outcomes, not every match, but you will see in a ad nauseum, inside cradle, roll up, roll up, inside cradle, roll up, roll up, inside cradle, roll up, roll up. It, because they don't want certain people to eat finishers. And when someone gets a win, they can't get the full-blown win where they hit the finisher on the other person and knock that son of a bitch out and get the win. We saw it yesterday again. Zoe Stark, my prediction was Zoe Stark winning because they brought her in. I was so looking forward to seeing Zoe Stark kick ass in NXT and loss. I mean, it's like, fuck you doing? So kind of thought, yeah, okay, pre-show, Toni Storm's not going to lose any stock losing that match. But what happens yesterday? Roll up. Inside cradle roll up. You can't make this up. I'm like, motherfucker. See what I'm talking about? She wins with the goddamn roll up. Take note of that. Impact Wrestling doesn't do it as much. MLW does not do it as much. AEW and WWE, you will start noticing it if you haven't already. And you'll be like, holy shit. When they want people to lose and they don't want it to feel 100% legitimate, it's like a roll-up comes out of nowhere. It's unexpected, and the person was about to kick out, and they don't want the person eating a finisher. Yeah, Soulfly, Zoe Stark definitely looks a little bit older in the face compared to others, but I don't care. I like her work. She's very talented. I don't think anybody should be concerned about Toni Storm losing that match yesterday. You know, she's not going to lose any momentum. It's pre-show, so technically it's not supposed to count, right? How much of you... Oh, and thank you for the kind words, Nir. Thursday's shows that I do are his favorites. I've been getting that a lot lately. Tonight, we're not doing any Don Tony indie wrestle crap. You know, people that don't know what that is, just look at last week and a week before shows. You'll know what I'm talking about. But VJ is saying DT's having fun doing a recap. No one wants to hear to see the face of it. Oh, yeah. We'll talk about who that on Friday. But getting back to Zoe Stark, you know, I like her ability. I just don't want the smoke and mirror shit because we could see right through that. Maybe Toni Storm. You know, who's going to... I tell you, did anybody out there think who should Raquel Gonzalez's first feud be with? Feud... Well, that doesn't sound right. Who should be Raquel Gonzalez's first feud? Who should be her first feud? I think Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez should now split. I think Dakota Kai maybe wants a friendly challenge or a match against Raquel, and it leads to a split. I think there might be some jealousy there. They have to do the jealousy storyline. Dakota Kai has to have her mouth water because Raquel Gonzalez has that title. I think, yeah, so a few of you say Dakota Kai as well. I don't think Toni Storm should turn babyface. Leave her exactly the way she is. She's fine. And I don't just mean that in the looks department. She's fine. You don't have to tinker with Toni Storm at all. The match yesterday was fun. And I don't think anybody should have complained about the outcome. Zoe Stark really needed a win, to be honest with you. What did you all think about Samoa Joe doing interviews? I loved it. I mean, I think we all agree. Samoa Joe on commentary on Raw is a lot of fun. And if they're going to put Samoa Joe in some interview segments on NXT, go for it, man. And if this guy could get back to the ring, maybe NXT is the perfect environment where he could be doing a, you know, backstage interview, and then somebody decides to get a little physical with him, and that leads to an impromptu match. I don't think Samoa Joe should be taken off of Raw, though, because in having fun commentary, because we don't have the organic live fans making noise, the fun commentary helps deal with some of the cacas we see on TV. Robbie Rob James, do I think that Io Shirai is headed to the main roster? It's starting to look that way. Feels it. You know, I loved Io Shirai kissing the mat yesterday after she lost. Christian, before he had his match with Frankie Kazarian, kissed the mat. I know if you want to talk about hygiene and everything else, I don't think their lips actually touch the floor. But, you know, that's, in Christian's case, it's a sign, hello, nice to see you again. Thanking God, if he believes in God, thanking God for the opportunity to reclaim 7 years that he lost because of retirement and injury. With Io Shirai yesterday, her kissing that mat, it almost felt like, thank you, NXT. Thank you for all the opportunity. Thank you for what you did for me. Now it's time to say goodbye. That's what it felt like to me. Who knows? Maybe Io Shirai. Because, look, a lot of people are pissed off that Bayley doesn't have a match at Mania. She may end up something, but we've been talking about the idea of the ding-dong hello segment. And now with the rumors of Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch coming back soon, maybe one of those two end up answering the doorbell. But hey, wouldn't it be interesting if Io Shirai showed up and got into it with Bayley a little bit? Just a thought, not saying it's going to happen. Austin would like to see Samoa Joe versus Karrion Kross. That's not bad. That is not bad at all. I think that's a big leap, though, because Joe has not been in the ring for a while. So, not saying he can't do it, but that would be really... I could see Kross being interviewed by Joe and Kross getting a little bit cocky. And it was weird tonight looking at some social media. I don't want to mention any blue check marks, but there were people having arguments like who was the babyface and who was the heel in that match with Kross and Balor. As much as I love Kross, he's the heel in this match. I don't think you need brain surgery to figure that out. Yeah, that was just weird. Like, just seriously, you'll see it. Now, because I brought it up, you'll see some blue check marks without naming names. How's about just sit back, enjoy the match, and stop bitching about stuff that minute? The fucking match is going on, and it's telling a great story. And all you're concerned about is, who's the babyface? Who's the heel? Oh, Santos Escobar brings his 9-year-old son out. Oh, isn't he the heel? Why is he bringing his son? Are we supposed to like him? Is this supposed to be WWE's version of -1? Because he's... Oh, I saw this was great that somebody wrote. Because Santos Escobar is Latino, is that technically -1? Seriously. This is why I don't like to mingle on social media. It causes brain cells to melt. It's like those smoking commercials when you smoke and everything turns to mush. That's what social media is doing to these people. Fuck the 45 likes. You're here. We're talking about it. This is my likes. All of you here. Fuck that social media garbage. Nina Strauss doing her instrumental version of the Star Spangled Banner yesterday. Enjoyed it. I don't have VJ's Gilbert birthday wish to yours truly tonight. If you saw it yesterday, basically Gilbert, when he was doing all that with his head, that's what Poppy's song sounded like tonight. Don't get me wrong. Poppy is beautiful. That is her from Takeover tonight. And she is one talented performer. But halfway through that song, she lost me. She lost me. I don't know what... I remember as a kid, seriously, I remember as a kid listening to Suicidal Tendencies, all right? And that reveals kind of my age a little bit. And even when they would just yell, like you could still kind of make out some of the lyrics. But what tonight, all I heard was Stand and Deliver, and that was it. That was it. So, yeah, Mish is a very big fan of Poppy. He's got good taste. I can't complain. She is one talented performer, no question. And she's a wrestling fan. So you got to admire that. You know, the $1,000 question is, do you think Poppy would ever enter the ring? Even if it was like a tag match or something, you think Poppy, and would you want to see that? Would you want to see that? So, Pete Dunne beating Kushida yesterday, pretty much what we expected. I don't know why so many people were surprised that Kushida lost. Kushida, I keep repeating it, love his tribute, continued tribute to Back to the Future. I love how the Japanese culture will pay tribute to a lot of pop culture icons. We've seen that in AEW, we've seen it with Kushida. Even when he had that match with Velveteen Dream, and Velveteen Dream did a little cosplay as well. By the way, where is he? Where is he? Maybe you bring him back. Maybe he needs to feud with somebody. I'm not saying we're cross, but Pete Dunne is the one with the momentum right now. Kushida, as much as we like Kushida, it does not feel like he's in any momentum to a championship right now. And Pete Dunne is, I'll continue saying it, he's a monster, he's a beast. Doesn't, again, you don't have to be 350 pounds or 6'5" to be a beast. Pete Dunne is a beast. And the match yesterday was awesome, but in the end, Pete Dunne, I love how he keeps fucking with people's fingers, and he tells the story through the whole match. You're just stomping on the hands, stomping on the fingers, you know. It's kind of, growing up as a wrestling fan, especially with big men, you would always want to work on the legs. Because if you take the legs out, you know, it's hard to do anything when you're laying on the mat. When it comes to Pete Dunne, and he's wrestling strikers, not strikers as a mat, but strikers, you ruin their hands, beautiful story. Love that Pete Dunne won yesterday. Even when they showed him at ringside tonight, he's got the Hobbs look on his face. Like he's a little constipated, like, I got to go do, you know. So Pete Dunne beating Kushida. Bronson Reed winning the Gauntlet Eliminator. I briefly mentioned this yesterday. Austin Ann says this perfectly. Pete Dunne is such an asshole that he loves it. Pete Dunne comes off as the ultimate asshole. Pete Dunne comes off like anyone out there, whether you're heterosexual, homo, I don't care. But Pete Dunne comes across as if you're in a bar or a pub with your significant other, and Pete Dunne starts hitting on your significant other or even just puts a look that person's way, like, there's nothing you could do about it. You're not going to go up to him, hey, bro, he's taken or she's taken. Yo, bro, you ain't saying a fucking word. You're forced to just sit there and just act like you don't see it. Like, you know he's looking, but you're looking at your phone, pretending like you're text messaging, but you're not, and because you know you can't do nothing about it. But Bronson Reed went in the Gauntlet Eliminator. It's a tough way to look at this because a lot of us like Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed probably should have gotten a little bit further at this point in his career in NXT. But man, they are so dropping the ball on Dexter Lumis. They just killed all this guy's momentum. And that storyline with Austin Theory and Gargano has so many freaking holes in it now. I mean, just think about it. If you just think about it in storyline, you've had thousands of people on social media show Austin Theory. Hey, man, Johnny Gargano set you up. Here's the footage. He paid off the psychologist. Now, of course, Austin Theory can't say anything online. But if you're going to use social media to push storylines, you got to be prepared for stuff like that. And nothing ever came about that. We thought when Austin Theory teased that he would do the finger poke of doom with Gargano, we thought Austin Theory would be one of the final six. And then for the next 7 days, we would wonder, you think Austin Theory, if he won, that he would actually lay down like that? They didn't do it. Jason, I think Karrion Kross did beat Bronson Reed already. I think that might have been one of his opponents. Karrion Kross is undefeated in NXT in singles competition. You know, remember, he had that bullshit schmoz with Finn Balor. So, whether Austin Theory's a meathead or not, still, there's so many sub-storylines you could go with that. Dexter Lumis should have been one of the final six. And Austin Theory should have been as well, to see if any psychological stuff comes out of it as well. But they have Dexter Lumis lose. Now, early on in the match, you had Isaiah Swerve Scott and Leon Ruff going at it. They have a little sub-feud. And you know what the sad thing about their feud is? Like, you, for people that are fans of those two guys, you want to see them have a 10-minute match where WWE says, tear the roof down, do whatever you want. And it feels so far. I mean, we'll probably eventually get it, but it feels so far like WWE saying to those guys, yeah, we don't want to have a full-blown feud with those two guys, but we'll put you in scenarios where you could beat each other up for 2 or 3 minutes. And that's what it felt like yesterday. That's what it felt like. Very impressive, though, Bronson Reed picking up both of them. And I think he suplexed both of them at one point. But, you know, just really surprised. I mean, even if Dexter Lumis wasn't going to advance, I think a lot of people out there thought LA Knight would get to it. And I understand WWE with their psychological tests of new signees to see how they handle losing. But anyone out there kind of complaining the way WWE has used LA Knight so far? I mean, this guy has lost multiple matches already. And all of the special feeling about him coming in is, you know, I mean, of course we know who Eli Drake was, but it feels like a lot of that aura of LA Knight has gone away. So I don't like it. But Bronson Reed does advance. You know, it was funny to watch Cameron Grimes trying to pay off Isaiah Swerve Scott during the match. Now, we may get a little mini feud with Dexter Lumis and LA Knight, because after LA Knight got eliminated, to get the focus off the fact that he just got eliminated, Dexter Lumis was still outside the ring and he made LA Knight go night-night. LA Knight went night-night. But, you know, how does this help Dexter Lumis? How does this help LA Knight? Is this going to, it just feels like it's just occupying them, because WWE has no intentions on having them go any further. And honestly, that is a feud I don't want to see, because neither one of them needs to lose right now. I don't want to see neither one losing right now. If LA Knight goes up and comes up strong in this feud with Dexter Lumis, this fucks up Dexter Lumis big time. If Dexter Lumis ends up on top of this feud, man, you really destroyed all the momentum that LA Knight had coming in. So this is a feud that, in my opinion, nobody's going to win. And don't give me this 50-50 shit, because you're going to screw them both up. So Bronson Reed advances. I guess we'll talk about that match. And Jason, I didn't forget about your comments. So when we get to that match with him and Gargano, I'll talk about it. My favorite match of last night, Walter retaining the UK championship with Tommaso Ciampa. As you could see, not really referring to notes, talking to you. If I'm looking at you straight, that means I'm not looking at notes. I have a couple little comments that I wrote down here and there, but I'm just giving you your overall thoughts on the match. And if you this sparks where you want to watch it, if you haven't seen it already, please do so. I apologize if my voice sounds a little bit, you know, rash tonight. You know, been up since early this morning, worked all day, did a late night show yesterday, doing one today. Got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, it's a little shoddy, but it's all good. Near, do I think Ciampa should have won? Hell no. I'm not one of these people that is going to make fun of Ciampa looking old. He's gritty. Ciampa having his beard with a lot of gray in it is part of his look. That's part of his character. He is old school. It's hard to call yourself old school if you look new school. He's a veteran. He's in his, you know, latter years. He still has a lot of years left. Last night, basically Ciampa did this to people online that like to run their mouth. You know, I love that match. That was my favorite match last night. Walter, yes, I agree. He's a throwback. Walter is a monster. If Pete Dunne's a beast, Walter is a goddamn monster. Walter is just something special. And God bless all of you that live overseas in the UK especially. You know, because a lot of the wrestlers in NXT UK, maybe not necessarily household names, but you identify with those wrestlers 1,000 times more than me. I like watching Walter in NXT UK. But it's not the same when he's not chopping people I can't stand on WWE's roster. And it sucks that he's going back overseas. Number one, that is the reason why Tommaso Ciampa had no business winning yesterday. Right now, Walter is having a record run for today's generation as far as longevity, over 2 years. You're not going to stop that now. You're not going to stop it with Ciampa. You're not going to stop it when he's going to go back over there. I mean, if anybody should have a run over 2+ years, Walter gets no complaints from anybody out there. I'd be fine if Walter kept it for another year or two. That guy is a monster. When he went to chop Ciampa yesterday, when Ciampa was by the announcer's table, now I'm not going to do it over here and break my own desk, but when he missed and chopped the table, that was not rigged. It wasn't that they put like little tiny, you know, like with that poster board or whatever that stuff is, you know, and the cheap furniture that you put together. That guy almost chopped the table in half. He is scary. He's scary. All right, maybe not necessarily 2 years, but still, record compared to our generation. Yes, I go back 70s and 80s, but today's era, it's a record run. And although, Devin, there, plywood, you could break. There's different forms of it. I'm talking about that poster board when you put together like some like the cheap furniture and you see some of the drawers and it looks like it's made out of wood, but it's like this really, really soft material. And then if you put too much weight on it after about 6 months for some reason, like, hey, why is my shelf like this? Trust me, I've bought in furniture like that and it sucks. That some type of poster board or whatever. But Walter is a monster, and they tore it up yesterday. Even though I am a fan of Tommaso Ciampa, I even thought at some points Ciampa had a little bit too much offense. But once Walter snapped, that was it. Walter just beat the balls off of Tommaso Ciampa. I mean, that chop fest that they had, did you even Walter, you see his chest after the match was over? I mean, particle board. Thank you, Gordon Post. Particle board. Yes. Yes, that's what it is. Particle board. Sam, thank you as well. Particle board. But that match was phenomenal yesterday. Don't get me wrong. I loved Raquel Gonzalez's performance with Io Shirai. Io Shirai did a great job too. But for me, Walter versus Ciampa did it for me yesterday. I mean, that the sleep suplex followed by the chomp, there's not, I mean, that's it. I mean, it's gonna, whoever takes the NXT UK championship off of Walter, it's going to be some special ass event. It will not be some fluke roll up inside cradle win. It better not be. It better not be. But man, I loved that match yesterday. Even if you're not a fan of Ciampa, I think if you watched this match yesterday, number one, you will admit that Ciampa could still go. No question. Number two, Walter is just a monster. He's just a monster. I wasn't kidding when I said this the other day, joking around. I wasn't kidding. You know, like WrestleMania, you go for WrestleMania weekend. Sometimes you could take pictures with wrestlers. Not right now because of COVID. But, you know, sometimes you could. I would pay for Walter just to chop me once. I would sign all medical clearances. I would, it's like cameo. It's like a physical cameo. I'd pay a buck. I'd pay $100. Just chop me once. I take my shirt off. Just hit me with one chop. I don't care if his imprint is on my chest for the rest of my life. You know, I just, you know, and you, when you watch it in slow motion, it's, that's priceless, man. Love, love Walter. Glad that he kept the belt yesterday. Now, we talk about these guys. I have to repeat something that I said last week with predictions. Well, actually, it was this week, but I said it last week as well. Anybody that tunes in on a regular basis knows my feelings about the Grizzled Young Veterans. The Grizzled Young Veterans, their ratings suck. They are talented. No question, they're talented. But when you get this much time on TV for years and you still can't pop numbers, not only do you not pop numbers, but all too often you see 50,000 viewers leave, 60,000, 70,000. One week it was 110,000 viewers dropped during the Grizzled Young Veterans quarter hour. Their ratings are horrendous. Only Larkin and Danny Burch. Again, I like Danny Burch 1,000 times more than I like Only Larkin. But those two guys hold records of the lowest ratings in NXT for main events. They own the first two. But, the Grizzled Young Veterans went to the finals of the Dusty Classic last year. They went to the finals of the Dusty Classic this year. They lost both. Again, I don't like the Grizzled Young Veterans. It's nothing personal. They are very talented, but they haven't connected with me, and I don't know if they ever will. But you have to look at this in WWE's eyes. They obviously see a lot of value in these two guys, and especially that they get to the finals twice and lose. At some point, WWE has to reward these two guys. And I thought, with fans starting to return, I think MSK, I went out and ordered their shirt on pre-order as soon as it became available, just to show that I'm a fan of theirs. So please do not misconstrue what I'm saying. I love the fact they got the belts. But I personally thought there might be more money or more of an entertaining storyline to see them chase for the titles a little bit longer. You know, I always bring up Dusty Rhodes. God rest Dusty Rhodes. God bless him. God rest his soul. And I'm not comparing MSK to Dusty Rhodes. I'm just bringing up a point. You know, I chuckle when, over the years, when some people say to me about the greatest, and NWA World Heavyweight Champions of all time, and they put Dusty Rhodes on that list. And I always say, so you think Dusty Rhodes is one of the greatest NWA heavyweight champions of all time? Oh, yeah, look, it's Dusty Rhodes, great, one of the greatest heavyweight champs of all time. If you add up all his title reigns, I don't even think it goes over 100 days. Dusty Rhodes, his money, was always chasing the title. Winning the title was epic, but one time he lost it, I think within a week or 2 weeks. Dusty Rhodes never kept the belt. All of his title reigns combined might be 100 days, around there, give or take a little bit. But money with Dusty Rhodes was always chasing. AWA with Hulk Hogan. Vern Gagne realized early on that Hulk Hogan had crazy-ass momentum coming out of Rocky III, and he was chasing Nick Bockwinkel for the title. It was insane how they were selling out buildings and how they were going nuts for Hogan. And Vern Gagne realized, fuck, we're not giving Hogan the title. They realized the money is Hogan always chasing the belt. So they teased it a couple of times. One time he actually was announced as the winner, but there was some bullshit finish and they gave the belt to Bockwinkel. And the problem with Gagne is he did it over again and over and over and over. Basically, the fans started saying, fuck you. And then basically Hulk Hogan started saying, fuck you, because he wanted more money, more opportunity, and deservingly so. And he left and went to WWF. So in MSK sense, I think there's more money in them chasing the titles a little bit longer. And I really believed that Grizzled Young Veterans were going to win it, because they have to be, as much as I don't like them, they have to be rewarded somewhere with WWE. Not just getting opportunity, not just going into the finals. You know how WWE goes. They got to give them over the edge one time. But they didn't do that. Gordon, you're right. The money's in the chase. The money is in the chase. And look at the perfect example. Again, no disrespect to either one of these teams. But tonight, in the pre-show, we had Breezango take on Killian Dane, Drake Maverick, to determine who the number one contenders are for MSK's titles. Now, you answer me this. Which is the hotter feud right now? Killian Dane and Drake Maverick versus MSK, Breezango versus MSK, or MSK versus the Grizzled Young Veterans? See what I mean? The Grizzled Young Veterans would have won those belts. You could have had a feud with MSK coming this close. Grizzled Young Veterans get themselves disqualified. Grizzled Young Veterans sneak out a win. You know, and you just go into the summer with that. No, they're not doing that. So now what do you got? You have two tag teams with zero momentum whatsoever, and they're not more on contenders. Yes, Dream 101, we were talking about DMX earlier. Yes, yes, very sad. You know, we'll talk about a little bit more tomorrow, but, you know, don't do drugs. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. It did bother me. So many media outlets out there that were leaving out the part that he OD'd. I mean, of course you want to pay tribute to the guy, deservingly so, but talk about a powerful message you send to young people out there, especially when people are vulnerable right now because of depression, because of COVID. You know, look, you know, no matter how bad things are out there, drugs are never the answer. Look what just happened to DMX. No, they just hide it under the rug. Not everybody. Now Devin M. says that he's not dead yet. Says why I don't like talking about this stuff. But you know what? He's brain dead. He's brain dead. You're on life support. That's it. That's it. So, yeah, from now on, I can't do that with the chat room. Much love to some of you out there. And I know you want to pay tribute to some people out there. But unless I see news reports myself, I'm not going to go there. Yeah, not going to go there. Not going to bring it up again. So You could super chat me $1 million. If I don't have confirmed information, not going to do that. But still, I mean, it's inevitable, obviously, because of his condition. You're in a vegetative state. That's it. That's it. Let me, we'll talk about it tomorrow. I don't want to get off track with this. But so MSK win the tag titles. Wonderful story, man. Special, special team. It's interesting. You look at WWE over the years, you don't have dynamic like these guys that come across all that often. And it makes you wonder if WWE avoided teams like this over the years. And I'm not just talking about a black person and a white person or anything like that, but I'm just talking about like two almost like regular guys. Like it was always characters behind. I mean, yes, they are characters, but you know, like you try to compare them to people of years past. I don't compare them to the Hardys. I don't compare them to the Young Bucks. You know, they have a little bit of a vibe with some oddball tag teams, but there's just something really unique about those two guys. And it's strange in 2021 with all the wrestling that we've seen over the years that you would have a unique feeling about two regular guys, you know, brothers from other mothers, and uber talented and really likable. And you realize, like, wow, it's really hard to compare them to people from yesteryear. So, so MSK win the belts. Wonderful moment. Surprised the shit out of me. I was happy. But I truly, truly thought Grizzled Young Veterans were to get it for a little while. Let MSK chase them into the summer, and then have them get the win. But they are your new NXT Tag Team Champions. We'll see where it goes. Raquel Gonzalez beating Io Shirai to become the new women's champion. Early in the match, Dakota Kai tries to get involved in the match. She gets ejected from ringside. We had one cool moment where Io Shirai climbed. They had this big skull set up on the rampway in the back, a little smoke. Yeah, it was really cool the way they did it. And Io Shirai climbed to the top of the skull. I think some people were comparing it to when Sabu climbed the R, I think in a Raw logo back in 1997. But Io Shirai, she climbs up, dives off on Raquel Gonzalez. And thank you for the kind words, Jay Carlos. Thank you. It was a fun match. Raquel Gonzalez shows that she's ready. And she has crazy-ass power. Some people compare her a little bit to China. You know, just I think they compare because of the physique and the black hair and, you know, but China's arsenal and her personality was much different than Raquel Gonzalez. I understand why people make comparisons, but Raquel Gonzalez, you know, it's, again, it's nice to see her develop and really, you know, like hone her skills over the last 9 months. Definitely deserving of being the women's champion. I think this match was lacking something. I mean, they had a great match. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they really, you know, put it all out there and it was fun. Just something just felt off about the match. I mean, it told a great story about her power and, you know, but it felt like more of spot, 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 spot. But in the end, you know, she hits the one-arm powerbomb for the win. And look, you see that smile on her face with that championship, even though she's a heel, you know, that smile is genuine. And you look at women's champions in NXT, there's not many. And when you look at all of, there's a picture floating around of all the women who have held that NXT heavyweight championship. And that tier of women are all upper class, upper tier. I know some of you out there aren't like happy with Ember Moon's current run. I have no problem with it whatsoever. But you look at every woman who has held that title, there's really nobody on that list you could say, it was a decent match. It was a decent match. But it did feel like it was missing a little bit, little something. But Raquel Gonzalez, as I said earlier, now we got to see who she defends the title against. I think you got to do a storyline with Dakota Kai. I don't know. We got to see if Raquel Gonzalez turns babyface too. A lot of people are thinking Raquel Gonzalez will have a little change of view, say it nicely. So Tuesday, it's going to be really interesting. Hell, remember, Frankie Monet is coming in. So we got to see who Frankie Monet goes after. Cannot forget about Xia Li. Xia Li has been on some crazy-ass momentum. One thing you have to say about NXT, even for the biggest AEW fans out there, NXT's women's division is top-notch. I don't even think you could compare it to NXT to AEW. There's no comparison. Thunder Rosa is awesome, and Sheeta is awesome, and Britt Baker has improved substantially, and they have other women in there that are really talented. But there are so many women that you could just, you know, just plug into different areas as far as the women's division goes in NXT, and you'd have great matches. This. AEW doesn't feel that way. Some funny stuff tonight going on in the chat room. Nothing malicious, but funny nonetheless. By the way, what do you guys think of Jimmy Smith? Jimmy Smith does a lot of UFC commentary. He's got a show on Sirius Satellite Radio. WWE has been basically wanting to bring him in, and he had a little some pre-show moments with Sam Roberts. I think Jimmy Smith is great. What he does is he uses the UFC verbiage that he always talks about, and he tries to incorporate that into the wrestling aspect. Psycho is saying, who that? Go check him out, pre-show. Jimmy Smith. He's actually pretty good. I actually enjoyed his commentary. Basically, some of the stuff he said, if you watch him on UFC... And I don't watch much of UFC, but I've seen some of his work. And you could basically just replace a UFC name with a WWE or NXT name, and it sounds the same. He's pretty good. He's pretty good. Keep that name, because it'd be interesting if WWE could sign him to a deal to work on a semi-regular basis. Jimmy Smith, that is his name. If you missed the pre-show tonight, we got a little bit of a treat. Mickie James made an appearance, and she actually did a little bit of play-by-play with Vic Joseph for Killian Dane and Drake Maverick beating Breezango. Nice to see Mickie James make an appearance. Bothers me that WWE doesn't seem to have any worth of Mickie James actually being in the ring, and I don't want her final moments in a WWE ring being this. Remember that garbage? Mickie James deserves more than that. And no, do not just give me a Hall of Fame induction for her either. You guys are nuts in the chat room. You guys are funny, man. Guys are funny. But Mickie James doing commentary tonight, I thought she was fine. I thought that she was fine. I tell you the funny thing about it is, if she ends up leaving WWE, I could see her doing play-by-play for NWA more than Velvet Sky. Velvet Sky, I'm trying to give a chance. It just feels like random. Mickie James was not bad tonight on commentary. The match itself with Killian Dane and Drake Maverick beating Breezango, it was a fun match, but it didn't feel like a number one contenders match. Basically, Killian Dane power bombs his own partner, Drake Maverick, onto Tyler Breeze for the win. Drake Maverick gets the pin, and he's in a lot of pain because he just got powerbombed. And they're still pulling that. Okay. But really, you're going to see MSK have a one-off match with Dane and Maverick, and that's it. Some other team is probably going to come out, maybe attack both teams, and that's how you segue into a different feud. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if Grizzled Young Veterans end up getting involved, laying out Breezango and laying out MSK, and there's your feud. There's your first feud for MSK as champions. So, opening match tonight, Jordan Devlin losing the unification match for the Cruiserweight Championship. Santos Escobar gets the win. Match, I think in a lot of people's eyes, that was a match that some people thought was going to steal the show tonight. It had some crazy-ass spots. There was one spot on the table I thought Jordan Devlin had serious injury. Jordan Devlin at one point in the match had a beautiful moonsault. I mean, it just, there's different camera shots of it, and even the biggest critics of NXT were saying it was just a look like a work of art. Jordan Devlin is an awesome performer. So is Santos Escobar. A lot of people still don't know about his work in Lucha Underground. It was an excellent, excellent match. The finish was scary. I mean, I replayed it with my own DVR a couple of times. And it seemed like Jordan Devlin was trying to get his hands up, but he got pushed back. He was brawling on a ladder with Santos Escobar, trying to climb the ladder to grab both belts. And I will say, you know what? About Legado del Fantasma, I'll tell you the one thing I didn't like about the match. You know, they were talking about, you know, how special it was and this to be the champion and, you know, just honor and this and that. And then towards the end of the match, Legado del Fantasma gets involved. And you got Beth Phoenix yelling at the top of her lungs, like, this is, like, and that's what those heels should be doing. You get involved, you attack, like they did with Jordan Devlin, basically throwing him into the side steps and just beating the shit out of Jordan Devlin. They lay out Jordan Devlin, and Santos Escobar is saying to Legado del Fantasma, okay, I got it from here. You could leave now. This is how stupid this was, in my opinion. Legado del Fantasma, I don't even think, walked to the back yet. And Jordan Devlin somehow gets back in the ring and throws a chair at Santos Escobar. So he's back in the ring. Jordan Devlin starts getting the upper hand. And just in storyline, I'm saying to myself, why doesn't Legado del Fantasma just come right back out and just beat him up again? They laid him out. And Santos says, okay, you could go. And before they could even get to the back, Jordan Devlin hits Santos with a chair and starts beating the crap out of him. Why don't they just come out again? Little things like that annoy me. But the spot at the very end, to me, that was some scary ass shit. If you haven't seen it yet, go out of your way just to see the very end of that match. They were brawling on a ladder trying to get the Cruiserweight Championships. And Santos Escobar gets the upper hand. Jordan Devlin falls backwards into a ladder that is in the corner. When he falls into that ladder, his head goes like this, square into that ladder. And, I hope he's okay. I mean, I think he's okay. There were some early reports that, you know, other than being banged up, he's fine. But that was some scary-ass spot. I don't know if you all saw that, but yeah. A few people are saying that too. Scary-ass shit, man. The match was very good, but I don't think it was anywhere near what we thought it was going to be. And I think when they opened up with that match, I think we started to think like, oh, okay. It felt more like a match you would see as a main event on NXT television and not necessarily a takeover, but that finish was so freaking scary. And after the match is over, I actually thought I downloaded the picture, but I didn't. up the rampway. Yeah, I don't have it in this computer. Up the rampway, Legado del Fantasma comes back out, and they have Santos Escobar. I think he's 9 year old. I think he's 9 years old, and he had a mask on too, and he was holding the championship. It was nice to see. It's just that Santos Escobar is a heel. Some people were confused at that. But then they're comparing it to Brody Lee's son, and I'm like, come on. You know, I don't think that was necessary. But Santos Escobar is now your undisputed cruiserweight champion, and let's see where Jordan Devlin goes from here as far as the U.S. NXT roster. Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon, they retain the women's tag team championships over Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. This match, pretty quick. I really enjoyed Ember Moon's little tribute to the Road Dogg, which I'm sure you all have heard. We mentioned it last week for a moment or two. Had a heart attack, is doing better. Ember Moon, huge fan of the Road Dogg. Inside the ring, outside the ring. And tonight, during a match, you know, she did the DX and actually did a little of the shimmy that Road Dogg does. There's a little tribute to him. I tell you, even though I don't think there was any dispute as far as who was going to win, two things I took away from that match. Number one, Shotzi Blackheart going back to her roots and almost killing herself outside in the ring again. She did a dive outside the ring, which was supposed to be onto Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell, and it looked like she missed miserably. And it looked at one point like she almost landed on her head. I mean, it's just, she has improved so much. That shit is so unnecessary. And I guess she thought, hey, I could do it now. Yeah, that was sloppy, man. No, Big T, there's no contest tonight. That's going to return next week. This is just NXT TakeOver recap. So, but for my members on YouTube, you know, we're going to do a little predictions contest for WrestleMania. Might just leave it as straight up cash prizes. Yeah, I was going to put some WrestleMania themed prizes up, but the thing is that this person doesn't like this person, and this person likes this. So cash always, you know, is well received. So I already alerted our members. I'll put something together by Friday, and I'll announce it on there. But no, that stuff will return next week. So Ember Moon, Shotzi Blackheart. Ember Moon actually had a little moments that we were a little concerned as well, but that dive that Shotzi Blackheart did outside the ring, I mean, people were really gasping, like, holy shit, let's hope she didn't injure herself. The second thing is, Indy Hartwell has very quietly gotten a hell of a lot better in the ring. Indy Hartwell, you look at her even 6 months ago and some of her work compared to now, Indy Hartwell has improved substantially. And I guarantee you that Candice LeRae is one of the biggest reasons for that as well. She's doing a lot better. She can hold her own. Will Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell be tag team champions in the future? If you would have told me that a month ago, I would have said, nah, I don't know about that. Now I would say, you know what? At this pace, why not? She's actually gotten better. She's gotten a lot better. So take notice of that. God bless you, Nir. He's tuning in. It's 5 a.m. where he's at. Here it's 12:05. I'm going to start wrapping this up very, very soon. There was one point where we were treated ringside to Stephanie McMahon, who was standing next to an Olympic amateur wrestler by the name of Gable Stevenson. And, you know, I thought it was funny. You know, me, look, I'm totally vaccinated. And who knows, maybe Stephanie is totally vaccinated as well. But it was just funny, you know, like he's standing up, no mask in sight. She's there with the over the top, just like clapping nonstop. And if you watch Stephanie as she was doing it, you almost felt like it was like, you're going to join our roster down the line. You're going to be our next Brock Lesnar. Yeah, forget about Parker Boudreaux. I finally said it right. Boudreaux. Yeah, she just over the top with the clapping. Over the top. I even think, I'm not kidding, if you actually look at Gable's face, like he was like, you know, I appreciate it. And then when it kept going, and I think he kind of had like this awkward look like, thank you. You know, like, all right, shut the fuck up already. Bronson Reed versus Johnny Gargano. Jason Lynn said best move of the night. Johnny Gargano goes to leapfrog Bronson Reed, who was coming off the rope, who proceeds to stop and shove him out of the air. Bronson Reed and Johnny Gargano need to have a rematch. They had a great match. I know some people don't like the David versus Goliath stuff with someone who is very small against somebody who is very big. But see, when you're Bronson Reed size and a majority of NXT's roster are smaller, you're not going to just run roughshod through the whole roster simply because of your size. And matches like what you get tonight is how you defeat a big man. Bronson Reed goes for his tsunami, goes for a moonsault, miss. That's how you defeat a big man in the storyline of little man versus big man. It told a great story. Bronson Reed looked like $1 million in this match. There were a couple of sloppy spots. There was one spot in the corner. I don't know if there was supposed to be a powerbomb or Bronson Reed was supposed to catch Gargano, and it just didn't mesh. But Bronson Reed got to showcase how agile he is for a big man. And, of course, his strength. I mean, at one point he picked up Gargano and outside the ring and just tossed him over the ring with the razor's edge. And the rampway would kind of remind me of the old Clash of the Champions, you know, the rampway that's level with the ring. And that would come into play for the main event tonight, which we'll get into a little bit. But in the end, Bronson Reed missing a couple of high spots, big spots, Johnny Gargano capitalizing. You had Austin Theory outside the ring couple of times getting involved, putting Gargano's foot on the ropes and basically trying to, you know, hit Bronson Reed with a couple of shots when the ref wasn't looking. Crotched Bronson Reed in the corner at one point. But Johnny Gargano had to hit two of his one final beats to get Bronson Reed to stay down. The first one, it just seemed to phase Bronson Reed. The second one was the killer. Two, one final beats. Bronson Reed goes down. Johnny Gargano pins him. Yes, a little bit of interference by Austin Theory, but overall, the match was pretty straight up clean. Johnny Gargano gets the win. Now, you know, I wanted to see Dexter Lumis. I said that before. Bronson Reed had a great performance. I hope WWE considers them having a rematch because it was a lot of fun. They really can work well together. I just have this weird feeling we may see Austin Theory and Johnny Gargano maybe have a little bit with each other. And if that is still on the table, you know, I don't want to see just a one-off rematch and pretty much the same outcome. So we'll see what happens. But Johnny Gargano gets the win, and he retains the championship. So Fly Beaumont, he's happy that we're talking NXT, but he's kind of bummed that we don't have the usual Thursday show tonight. Well, look, it's WrestleMania week. So, you know, putting it aside for 1 week, it's cool, you know. Plus, we don't want to get burned out with all that stuff. And then what happens 6 months from now, we don't have a lot of content to talk about, you know, with the retro stuff and everything. But, you know, I miss it. I absolutely miss it. But, you know, look, NXT just had 4.5 hours of wrestling between the two nights. Definitely deserve to be talked about. So, and since we do a show on Thursdays anyway, you know, I seriously thought about covering night one yesterday. But I said, you know what, it'd be better if we just put it all together and just get into everything at the same time. Now, as far as WrestleMania goes, if you're not aware of it already, I will be doing a recap Saturday night for night one, and I will do a second recap Sunday night after night two. The reason why I'm not combining those two is because there could be 8 hours of wrestling. There could be 4+ hours each night, and I'm not going to do a 19-match recap. You know, it could end up being that much. So, you know, we'll talk about that tomorrow when we get into specifics. So that really leaves us with two matches remaining. And I've talked about both matches a little bit already tonight. Karrion Kross beating Finn Balor to win the NXT championship. Finn Balor coming out with a red X on his shoulder. That was the spot that was injured when he won a Universal Championship and then had to surrender the title because of injury. So the X was the sign of his original injury. I know a lot of you out there were disappointed that we didn't get the Demon. I'm kind of glad we didn't get the Demon today, because WWE has diminished the value of the Demon so much. The last thing I would have wanted was for them to bring back the Demon tonight just to have him lose. So better to keep the Demon aside. Match was very good, told a really good story. I mean, early on, it was just straight up chain wrestling, feeling each other out. You know, a lot of psychology as well. You know, Finn Balor, you know, trash-talking Karrion Kross and vice versa. Finn Balor at a couple of points was laughing, you know, as far as some of the antics of Karrion Kross. Benjamin, I did see Finn Balor last week with his interview, and people asked him if the Demon. I know about his inner stuff and this and that, but, you know, just because you do an interview saying that doesn't mean that it's officially done. And not only that, Benjamin, Finn Balor's been saying that for 2 years now. What Finn Balor said last week is nothing different than he said last year and the year before. You know, if it comes out, it comes for the right reasons. And guess what? Right before Finn Balor came out tonight, if you didn't see it, they put some black and white still shots of Finn Balor during his career in WWE, especially NXT. And what did they put right smack center behind him right before his music hit? The Demon. The Demon. They threw that right in your face today. And he didn't come out with that. Look, the match was very good. Yeah, they put a picture of the Demon. You know, you would think that right center, right before he comes out, maybe have the picture of him like this. No, the fucking Demon. Yes, I agree. Finn Balor looked like he was having fun. Karrion Kross was having fun. I love Scarlett getting very, very verbal during parts of the match, looking as beautiful as ever. This match, there was some great reversals by Finn Balor. Finn Balor hitting, you know, the coup de grace and getting some great reversals, putting some submission moves on Karrion Kross, basically working his shoulder. You know, that was a lot of the storyline as well, because Karrion Kross had to relinquish the title because of a shoulder injury. So Finn Balor working on the shoulder a little bit too. And the first half of the match was more of telling a psychological story. But, you know, for NXT standards and wrestling fans that are not really into Karrion Kross yet, it's not enough. It's not enough. And early on in the match, you know, and this might be the reason why some people were having this debate on social media. Like, you couldn't, like, really tell, like, if are they cheering Karrion Kross? Are they booing Karrion Kross? They were indifferent for it. Then the match picked up. And once it picked up, it never let go. And Karrion Kross hitting a lot of power moves. You look at Karrion Kross's arsenal. You're not going to get high-flying stuff. You'll get a rare spot here and there, but it's a lot of suplexes, a lot of ground game. His arsenal is perfect for the main roster. What's going to get him over in NXT is more of the personality coming out. I think NXT right now is undecided if Karrion Kross should be a straight-up heel, straight-up babyface, or a tweener. And the feud with Legado, Santos Escobar, is a perfect example of that. We look back on that feud, and their match that they had, that brawl, was awesome. But you look back on it, and you say to yourself, like, but wait a minute, Santos Escobar is a full-fledged heel. I think people were a little off about cheering for Karrion Kross. And then you have this little feud with Finn Balor, even though it came off early on as some mutual respect. You know, like, they don't know how to react, I think, towards Karrion Kross a little bit. That's why I think his next opponent is so, so important. It can't be a scrub. You know, and I'm not calling anybody on the NXT roster a scrub, but it can't be someone on a level like Cameron Grimes or a babyface coming out that's like in the middle. You know what I mean? Like, even though I love Tommaso Ciampa's match with Walter, I don't want to see Ciampa coming out there again. So it makes you wonder, like, who is going to be the first opponent for Karrion Kross' first feud? Because he could have a match against anybody as a champion. Look at Kenny Omega in a match with Joey Janela, Matt Sydal. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't lead to any feuds. But his first feud, that's going to show you where WWE wants to go with Karrion Kross. I think a lot of people will agree with me when I say that. Right now, it feels like you don't know how to react to Karrion Kross. Of course, you know, in the case of the Don Zilla Army, because he's friend of the family, you know, it's a, of course, we're biased about it. But for the casual wrestling fan, I truly think they don't know how to react. He did a couple of interviews last week. He did interviews with a couple of podcasts, even with Scarlett. They're talking about relationships, how they met, their first kiss. And Karrion Kross oozes charisma, and he's smiling. He's a very likable person. And you look at the interview and like, man, this fucking guy's cool as fuck. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're supposed to cheer him when he's out there performing. Do I think Finn is going back to Raw or SmackDown? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think, in my opinion, he's got to stay with NXT longer because he is a familiar face. He still can go. The crowd was into that match tonight. And some of his horrible ratings on NXT was more of WWE storytelling than anything else. So you take him out of there, you need that main roster sort of veteran face to be almost that focal point. It's not going to be Adam Cole right now. He's going to be selling that match for a little while. So I say, you know, we got to keep him in NXT for a little bit longer, in my opinion. Big Armada, 88, with Super Chat. He just doesn't care about Finn Balor. He wants to, but he just doesn't. He's just leather jacket guy to him. I totally understand what you're saying, man. I mean, Finn Balor at one point had this aura about him. I mean, his real big aura. And after a while, he just, WWE removed a lot of his identity. I think that's what it was about. You know, just because you say, you know, that, you know, you could be sick and twisted without wearing face paint. The face paint is spectacle. The face paint is entertainment. That's what wrestling is. It's about style, substance, telling a story. It's about the visual. That's why you have pyro. That's why you have all crazy as colors and looks and great outfits. And, you know, so you can't just stick, well, I don't need the face paint to be psychological. That's a selfish comment. Fans want to be treated to spectacle. And that's what the demon character brought. So no matter what excuse Finn Balor, the only excuse that I would accept from Finn Balor is if he did an interview and said, I don't have my makeup. My makeup got lost in luggage. That's the only excuse I would take. A forgotten island. It's the only excuse I would take. You know, say, you know, I get the, you know, I could, the demons are in my head and this and that. We don't give a shit about that. We want to be entertained. Dress for me, bitch. Put on the outfit. Spectacle. Why do you think people have pyro with their entrances and this and that? All the colors and the crazy ass outfits. It's the visual. Nobody cares. I got the anger in my head. Sounds like a low-budget Nikki Cross. Me. I got the anger in my head. It's no excuse. You know, it's I'm too lazy to put it on. But we know it's WWE. It's not Finn Balor. It's WWE's decision not to have him come out with the makeup. That's all WWE. So you take away some real specialness about him and that visual, and then you put him with a Shangata storyline on top of it, that hurts, man. That hurts him. In the end, Karrion Kross got the upper hand. Got really physical with Finn Balor. A couple of suplexes. The shots to the back of the neck. Did you see all the camera switches they did? You look at those shots, Karrion Kross obviously doesn't want to really hit the neck. So he had to go lower to not legitimately hurt the guy. So what does WWE do? Camera shot here. They did like five or six different camera angles while he's doing that. And to me, that kind of hurt it a little bit because you couldn't stay focused on the damage it was doing. Go back and watch that and you'll see what I'm talking about. But after he nails him in the neck a couple of times, another suplex or two, and then that's it. Nails him one final time in the neck. Finn Balor goes down. Karrion Kross gets the win. Very happy for the man. First time around he won the belt. He had to give it up in 3 days because of injury. I hope when we're done with the show tonight, I don't hear anything about injury. So now we finally get to see what this guy could do. Remember, he's still undefeated as a singles wrestler. So I don't expect him to lose any matches anytime soon. Hopefully we don't get any dumb fluke wins with roll-ups, you know, that we inside cradles. But I'm really curious as to who his first feud is going to be. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, would love to see him go at it with Aleister Black. I think that back and forth banter would be freaking phenomenal. I think that psychological aspect would work perfectly. It would give new life also to Aleister Black, something to do. And it's different. So we'll see. I doubt it, but we'll see. Congrats to Karrion Kross. Plus, look at Aleister Black's in-ring style. And look at Karrion Kross's. They kind of look like they would really, really mesh well. So the more you think about it, like, yeah, I could see Karrion Kross and Aleister Black really going at it with their styles. They really, I think, would gel really, really well. So we'll see. Main event, I touched on this a little bit earlier. Kyle O'Reilly defeating Adam Cole, unsanctioned match. Referee comes out dressed in all black, not wearing a referee shirt. And as I've been saying for a while now, Kyle O'Reilly needed this win. Kyle O'Reilly, I don't think will ever be a main eventer on a regular basis for NXT. It's nothing against him. I freaking love his work. I don't see enough people connecting with Kyle O'Reilly. I say continue doing what you're doing with the guy and just let it happen organically. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Don't force it, because it'll cause damage to the guy. These two beat the shit out of each other. Loads of chairs. Chain was used all throughout the match. We had ring steps used. A lot of trash talking. Adam Cole getting in Kyle O'Reilly's face. Since I was a kid as a wrestling fan, I loved the nut shot, where you not only do the nut shot, but you got to keep the arm there for a couple extra seconds. And you see the person in pain. Adam Cole did that once or twice. Kyle O'Reilly did it at the very end. I love the feud. I think WWE should have been concerned when they did the contract signing and then had what they had afterwards. And the overrun was very, very tiny. This was after an AEW event. I think that was of concern. When Finn Balor fought Adam Cole, NXT main event, not too long ago, that main event rating was not good. When Finn Balor fought Kyle O'Reilly, the main event of NXT, that rating was not very good. This, because it had the takeover backdrop, immediately made it feel more special. That's why NXT won in the ratings yesterday. If this would have been a regular episode of NXT and they hyped the same exact matches, AEW probably would have won in the ratings yesterday. But because you used the takeover theme to it, it feels extra special. It feels more meaningful, even though, you know, it's really, that's all you're doing. You know, I saw a lot of people complaining today about using the chain so much with no blood. We had straight chair shots thrown into the heads, no blood. I don't expect blood in that match. It was to tell a story and to really tell a story of hatred between two people. I love the vignette that led into the match, where Adam Cole was asked, do you think you would ever be buddies with Kyle O'Reilly again? And they showed pictures of them when they were a lot younger. And Adam Cole, you know, anything is possible. Adam Cole, right now, there's just this utmost hatred. And that came across in the match. For me, the match went about 10 minutes too long. Not their fault. They beat the living shit out of each other. What I loved about that match is because they did things that were common sense when certain moves were put on him. I'll give you a good example. Kyle O'Reilly puts a leg submission on Adam Cole. So what does Adam Cole do? He takes his other leg and starts kicking Kyle O'Reilly square in the face over and over and over. If any of you were put into a one-leg submission and you were trying to get out of it, your first reaction would be to use your other leg and kick that son of a bitch square in the face as much as you can to try to get him to break it. What does Kyle O'Reilly do? Kyle O'Reilly says, all right, you want to do that? He grabs both the legs and puts the submission on both the legs. It told exactly the story it needed to tell. Towards the end of the match, we had a gimmick spot up the rampway. You had Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, I think, was on his back and fell forwards into the center of the rampway. And, you know, you could tell, you know, like from underneath, they loosened all the things so they could go through it a la Taz, Bam Bam Bigelow style ECW. Great visual. And my God, look at Kyle O'Reilly's back after that match was over. This man took some crazy ass. Look, that guy deserves to go off the air on top, closing a two-night excellent NXT TakeOver event. Seeing Kyle O'Reilly with his hand raised. I did feel bad when the very end, right before he went off the air, he raised his hand. There was no reaction because there was virtually no fans still there. you know, and that sucks. But the guy just put it all out there. And his matches with Adam Cole, the War Games match, Finn Balor, the guy has really showed everyone that he is a special kind of person. Let's see if he can keep that going. Who knows? Maybe Kyle O'Reilly will take on Karrion Kross. Just an idea. I don't know. I don't know if that would work right off the bat, because I don't know if the fans are truly behind Kyle O'Reilly as much as maybe some people in NXT think they are. I'm not sure about that yet. But they just beat the shit out of each other. You know, there was a couple of conciertos teased. The very end, Adam Cole had two chairs upside down with just the legs sticking up, and it looked like he was going to just put Kyle O'Reilly on the rope and just back suplex him into those chairs. Yes, Joe, you bring up a very good point. You know, Kyle O'Reilly, you know, with the Undisputed Era finally splitting, this is really his first time really showcasing himself being on his own. Well, when he was going at it with Finn Balor, you know, he kind of showcased this stuff on his own too, because the Undisputed Era really, you know, wasn't the focal point with that. But I get what you're saying. And, you know, they did use the Undisputed Era chairs tonight. It seemed like they used the same chairs from War Games, you know, the chair with the Undisputed Era logos. But, man, it was a tremendously physical match. I mean, you know, when you have an unsanctioned match, you just beat the balls out of each other. Now, somebody asked me this a few moments ago, Puffy89, who had the better unsanctioned match, Adam Cole or Britt Baker? And you're saying I might have... I don't think I skipped anything you said earlier. Was this? No, this was from yesterday. Hold on. I'm going through. No, this is the only one that I see over here. Yeah, I'm going through. It's the only one I see over here. But to answer your question, yeah, I'm looking. Yeah, I'm looking. That's the only one. But anyway... Boy, that's an interesting question, since Britt Baker and Adam Cole are a couple. See, I think Britt Baker, and this might be splitting hairs, I think Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa was more of a hardcore match than an unsanctioned match. I mean, I'll tell you the truth. I enjoyed Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa more. I think because the match was shorter, there were more visuals. The blood obviously was a visual as well, you know, but that felt more of a hardcore match. This felt like two guys truly trying to end each other's career. Do I think Britt Baker was trying to end Thunder Rosa's career? No, and vice versa. That match felt like a hardcore match. This match tonight felt like two guys that legitimately hate each other, that want to end their careers. I laughed my ass off when Adam Cole knocked the ref out with one freaking forearm, and he's trying to revive the ref. You only had one job to do. And he's trying to revive the ref, and the ref is just worse than Earl Hebner when he used to get knocked out. From one forearm, it was kind of funny. Then in very end, it was even funnier because that same ref is tending to Adam Cole after he lost the match. What I also popped for tonight is when the ref got knocked out and the fans started chanting, believe me when I tell you when I say this, this may sound like no big deal to you, but the more I think about it, this might have been my favorite moment of the night. I'm not kidding. Don't get me wrong. I loved a lot of what we saw tonight. But the more I think about it, when Adam Cole knocked that referee out and the fans started chanting, "You deserve it," that is something that has not happened in over a year. And what is that truly? Yes, we've had some fans in NXT before, but this was a live reaction that WWE could not pipe in. So the fans going rogue, wanting another ref, telling this ref, "You deserve it," getting his ass knocked out, that's something I miss in wrestling so much. That organic, generic response of how the fans feel, even if it's not what WWE intended it to be. The more I think about it, that made me feel like, man, it feels good to have rogue fans in attendance again that just want to, you know, man, you think you underestimate how much you miss it. So I kind of enjoyed that tonight. But so to answer your question, Puffy, again, I think Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa was more of a hardcore match than anything else. So I'm not trying to take a cop out over here, but you know, the animosity and the hatred was two totally different storylines, in my opinion. So I wouldn't compare the two. I don't think we should. I again think I enjoyed Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa a little bit more, probably because I wasn't expecting as good of a match that we got. We heard that they tore the roof down because it was pre-recorded. But when I watched it, I'm like, wow, this is a hell of a lot better than I thought it would be. I think we thought Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, they're not going to disappoint. Britt Baker is such a wild card with that. So that's my views on that. And he gave a shout out to NXT UK today as well. Walter and Rampage had a battle in addition to these great. Now, I got to check that out. You're talking about Rampage Brown, right? Few people were telling me, like, you got to check out Walter and Rampage Brown. And I said, okay, all right. You know, you got to, like, fit it in the schedule now with everything that's going on. But, you know, we don't want to get burned out, you know, watching this crazy amount of wrestling all of a sudden. I mean, it's fun and everything, but, you know, it's kind of like if you go to a restaurant and you get a really good dinner, you don't care if the dinner's kind of small, but if you get some real good quality food, that's good enough. You don't want to walk in a place and eat 50,000 things, and most of them were kind of like average at best, but because you're just pigging out, like you just, I'm stuffed. I don't want to feel that way with WrestleMania. I want to enjoy what I'm watching. I don't want to feel because you're feeding me 20 matches, because three or four of them are spectacular, that I have to consume 8 hours of wrestling and then a couple of hours covering it. Then you have a, that's too much. That's too much. So it's overload, but you know, you don't have to have overload. I mean, I understand with WrestleMania, you want to try to get everybody involved as much as possible, especially after a difficult year. I think everybody in WWE on that roster deserves something because of the extreme circumstances we've been in, but not at the fans' expense. You know, if you got to do a battle royal, you know, do the battle royal. You know, but I don't need 20 matches. You know, don't give me 20 matches simply because we're giving you so much. You got to like it. No. Yeah, I know. The Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal is Friday. Yeah, we'll cover that tomorrow. But I'm, you know what? I haven't popped an Ambien yet to pass out tonight. Puffy89, do not super chat this. I order you not to super chat this, but just tell me in the chat room or someone else. Is the match with Walter and Rampage Brown, is it available online or on the streaming service? If it is, I'm going to watch it before I go to sleep tonight, and I'll definitely comment on it tomorrow. Look, it's great to have all this wrestling. We're wrestling fans. We love it. But at the same time, though, you know, there is a point where it's just too much. And did we get too much with NXT, 4.5 hours? No. But I think, you know, a little bit of tightening here and there, you could have chopped a half an hour off, you know. But tomorrow we have 2 hours of SmackDown. Okay, it's on Peacock. All right, so I am going to watch it tonight. As soon as I'm done with the show and I get this online, I'm going to go check it out. But anyway, with that said, I think I'm going to jet out of here. Believe it or not, right now, we're almost literally to the seconds, exactly the same amount of time that we streamed yesterday for AEW Dynamite. So I went overtime yesterday because I had some rants to get off my chest as far as the current product. But tomorrow night, I will, Devin M, email me dontony@dontony.com. I'll talk to you there for sure. But join me tomorrow night, Friday, 10:05 p.m. Eastern. I will get into SmackDown. We'll run through that quickly, but we'll do WrestleMania predictions. We will get into the quarter hour ratings for AEW. Maybe I'll do NXT, even though it's not complete because of Peacock. But I think the viewership on Peacock would also reflect what was on the USA Network. We'll see if there's any pits and valleys, you know, dips and valleys with some of the matches that went on. But yeah, see, that's what happens in the chat room. Then I got to give away $1,000 in merchandise. So we'll work on it. We'll work on it. But everyone, I thank you all for tuning in. If you have not checked out NXT TakeOver Night 1 or Night 2, my honest opinion would be definitely go check it out. It was fun two nights. I mean, there really was not much to complain about. Some of the outcomes were surprising, but every match really, you know, did what it needed to do. The women's tag match might have been a little bit, you know, uneventful. The number one contenders tag match tonight was kind of ridiculous. But the matches that needed to deliver, pun intended, you know, NXT stand and deliver, they delivered tonight. And they delivered yesterday as well. Now we're going into Tuesday with a lot of new champions. And we're going to have Taya Valkyrie make her debut. And who knows what else is to come. Something tells me we're going to have some additional surprises coming. And we'll see if we get one or two people from the main roster show up in NXT. I think that's something that might be necessary. But all right, one last before we go. He's basically biting off of my joke that I said earlier this year. Crazy Cruiserweight says, what do you call the kids who grew up in watching NXT in 2032? Early this year, I said, what do you call Brie Bella's kid, Nikki Bella's kid? Who else gave? Oh, and Becky Lynch's kid in 2032. That was my joke earlier this year. What do you call Brie Bella's kid, Nikki Bella's kid, and Becky Lynch's kid in 2032? You call them quarantines. Creasway, you got to give me credit for that one. I made that joke up myself, but the quarantine joke has been floating around, though. Cruiserweight is good people, as all of you as well. And once again, before I go, I know it's not Wednesday, but if you enjoyed the show, smash that like button. That tells YouTube you enjoyed the show, and they in turn will recommend it to others. So I thank you for joining me tonight, and I will be back here less than 24 hours. We will get into it 10:05 p.m. Eastern on Friday night. Much love, my friends. Have a great night, and I will catch you all again Friday. Ciao, everybody.